Good morning, everybody. All right. My name is Lyle Asbell. No, Mark. Mark, you had that wrong. Wherever you went. No, my name's Steve Fadley. I'm one of the seven elders here. And I'm here to represent them and to deliver a message this morning to our Southeastern family, to those here, those joining us online, and to all the friends and those who are just tuning into us that don't regularly practice or participate with us. I am going to do my best to run this clicker, stay on my notes, and speak intelligently at the same time. That's going to be a challenge today. But the leaders at Southeastern, the shepherds in particular, want to extend to each and every one of you here in the room with us and those online a hearty, COVID-appropriate holy hug and kiss. We're tired of this, aren't we? This weekend, if you don't know, marks one full year. It was Friday the 13th when the air raid sirens went off, and Monday the 16th that I went home from work and have not returned. So it's been a long time. But that has nothing to do with our conversation this morning. This morning, our conversation is a matter of a tougher subject. And I need your patience. I'm a great lecturer. Not a public speaker, but a great lecturer. Just ask my kids. They can tell you that. So if you hear me start to go off on... Stay with the mic. I got to not move around either, which I was concerned about. But if you hear me start to go off on a lecture, if I start sounding droning on, remind yourself that's not my intent. And just allow me some grace. I messed up. And forgive me. And then try real hard to tune back in and don't get lost on my lecture. But why are we doing this? We're doing this because we want to be the aroma of Christ in this community. You know, it seems that the social and political issues of this time have drowned out a lot of that message. And it's something that we're concerned about and we wanted to talk about. And it's why we're going to have these panel discussions in the coming months as well. We've been on a journey for the last 4 years. Remember, click, move forward. We've been on a journey for the last 4 years. We have gone through women's studies. We've gone through examining leadership structure and what it's about, what we're about. We focused on the meaning of what it means to be a shepherd and trying to do that better. We've learned about, we hope we've learned better, about discerning what the Holy Spirit wants us to get from the Word and to listen to the Holy Spirit's guidance in what we do and the decisions that we make. We've been through, and the end of that lasted this 4 years, finalizing the minister search, as you all know, and obviously the last year we've been finding our way through COVID and all the challenges that it's created, the separations that it's created. There we go. You know, we can't meet the way we'd like to meet. We wear masks. We social distance. You know all of these things. And it's impacted us with our inability to have small groups the way we'd like, to have classes the way we'd like, to go see people who are shut in the way we would like. It's been difficult. And just if you know any shut-ins, I hope you're seeing some, if you know any. We all know some folks who are shut in. We need to be sure that we're continuing to reach out to them. So this journey, we felt this was kind of a natural progression in light of the events of the last year in particular, which I'll touch on in a few minutes, that we talk about some of these issues, these social issues, these societal issues that are impacting us. So as you've seen in the bulletin the last few weeks, on March 14th, we're going to have the first one today, after services at 1:30, Impact of Race and Racism on the Church. I think that'll be a particularly interesting conversation. Terry's a great historian. He's also a great speaker. You're a hard guy to follow. Terry, I appreciate your words in the communion this morning. And then Mike DeCamp and Nate Grady will also be participating in that and sharing some personal experiences and reflections on this. And we're going to be looking at the questions that you've submitted. So we've been asking for questions. Some have been submitted. We'll be using those as part of that that panel discussion. And then we'll follow that, of course, with about a month later with this nationalism, patriotism, politics, and Christianity and how this mixes and the struggles that we have with that. I think that's a really important conversation as well. As a patriot, as a good American citizen, as a red, white, and blue boy, it's a struggle. It's a struggle to. It has been a struggle over the years to figure out where faith and politics lie in my life. So it's a discussion worth having. I have the moderators a question mark there because we don't have the. I was supposed to do it. Truth be told, it was assigned to me, but I didn't realize we were going to be out of town that weekend. So we have to get that filled. And then in May we'll follow that with the speaker not to speak, the tongue as a tool and a torch. Which is, I think, pretty appropriate in our society to talk about that and how we treat each other and treat those within and outside the church. So, what's that mean? Why are we doing this? I think that there's a foundation for this, and the foundation for these conversations can be found in Mark 12, and we should recognize a lot of this. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." We have it hung on our wall. We see it every Sunday. It's easy to have these things in our mind. It's harder sometimes to apply them to our lives. So applying them to our lives is kind of what we're trying to do with our mission statement, which you all are aware of, that we've rolled out as to a church family here, that we want to be committed to loving God, to loving people, and to making a difference in our community, just like Jesus did. That's our call. That's where we want to be in the future. That's what we want to be our guide. So how do we do that? We look back at this last year, and it was a shocking year in a lot of ways. We've had a lot of events have occurred over this last year. It disrupted so much of our lives, our work lives, our economy, and our church lives. And we saw a lot of protests that came during this year. Protests followed I think we look back and where did those protests start? I think there was, I'm going to call them out by name, Ahmaud Arbery in Georgia in February. Then Breonna Taylor died at the hands of a police search of a home in March in Louisville, Kentucky. And then we all know that the catalyst or the what kind of really pushed things over the edge was the death of George Floyd in Minnesota in March. May. Those were kind of a symptom of this racial tension within our country. And we can come up with rationalizations from different sides about why things happen. And I'm not talking about the riots here. I'm talking about the protests. And we can say, well, that's, an exaggeration or that's looking at it the wrong way. I think we have to step back and listen to what people have to say. Listen to their voices. Listen to their stories. Walk a mile in their shoes before we can really dismiss what somebody, or even consider dismissing what somebody says, just not dismissing them out of hand because we don't think that their story is valid. So I think that's an important part of what we're going to be doing with these panel discussions, in particular this first one this afternoon. 2020, the shocking year went on. It came to the end of Trump's presidency, and that's not a political statement at all. It's just a fact. And it was a contentious 4 years. Whether he was part of the cause of that, or whether his enemies were the part of the cause of that, that's not up for debate. Nobody can argue that it was a wild 4 years and a stressful 4 years. And it didn't do much from either side to bring us together as a people. And then the riots that did follow those protests, and whether you, regardless of your thoughts about those, it was more of a shocking year for us. It was a lot for us to absorb. And then we had a vicious presidential election cycle that ended that 4 years of his presidency, and there was just no relief. It was just 24/7 vitriol from all sides. That's stressful. That's hard on us. It's hard on us to figure out where we land on these things in our faith. So what's that mean? We had COVID through all that as well, which I nearly forgot. How can you forget that? So you see this growing intolerance on all sides. It just seems that we demonize each other all the time. Nobody seems to be able to figure out how to live with peace with one another. But we're called as Christians to live in peace with one another. at the very least within our family. And we're called, and we'll talk about this, we're called to live at peace with all people. That's a challenge. So what's it mean to you and to me? And what's it mean to our church family? So that's where we want to go. Melanie reminded me, did you bring your glasses? Yeah, I brought my glasses, just forgot to put them on so I can read my notes. All right. Anyway, where are we at here? So what's the role of the Christ followers in all of this? Here at Southeastern, what's our role? In the larger body of Christ, what's the larger body of Christ's role? What's our role in the community and the nation? These are the things that we have to think about. How do we deal with the racial issues, and what does the Bible have to say about those things? We talked about faith and politics with being one of these panel discussions and how it intersects with our faith. Did Jesus say anything to guide us on that? And I want to touch on that for a moment. And we also want to talk about the way we talk to one another and the language we use, the attitudes that we have. Our words reflect our attitude. They reflect our heart. And we live in a world with social media where it's easy to drop a bomb and walk away, to criticize, to judge. The Bible has a lot to say about our words, but Christians need to get to the heart of the matter. And I want to touch on that this morning as well. Let's see. I get it to move forward. Part of this discussion, the reason we're having these things is so we can be better prepared to be Christ to the communities that we're going to touch. We all need to be prepared to love those that may not see things the same way that we do. You know, we have contact with our preschool families, and we have contact with folks through the food and the clothing pantry. And we have contact through our various ministries, which I won't list all of them, but there are various ministries that have these direct contacts with our community. We have our contacts with our area schools, which we've tried to develop over the last year, which as we started that, then of course COVID hit and a lot of that crashed and burned. And then we have our contact with these neighborhoods that are around us. We want to be sure that in a world where it seems that the church is increasingly seen to be a impediment, that we're a solution, that we're here to represent God, we're here to be Jesus' disciples and to touch our community. So today's panel on racism and the history in the church is an important discussion, and it's a conversation about, you know, who our neighbor is, really, and how do I treat that neighbor. And, you know, we all have this, know the story of the Good Samaritan, right? If you don't, you can read up on it. But most of us, even those who don't have a lot of church background, know the story of the Good Samaritan. The Jewish man's traveling along the road. He finds, he's a priest, I believe, and he passes by this man that's been robbed on the side of the road. He's another Jew, I assume, here. And he walks to the side of the road, and another person of faith walks by and does the same thing. And it's finally a Samaritan that comes along. Someone who's considered to be an outcast and a dog to the Jews, that actually takes care of this person. And so that's our story of what it means to be a good neighbor. And Jesus provides us with this teaching that is a lot easier to understand in our head than it is to practice in our hearts on a day-in and day-out basis in the way we treat our fellow human beings. What's God expect of us? What's he expect of you, and what's he expect of me? Well, we're expected to condition our hearts to love each other, to love one another, to look past our differences. And again, that becomes a real difficult question in our faith walk, right? Because we say, oh, look past differences. Well, there are some things that are more important to look past than others in our faith and what's truth as far as Scripture is concerned. But the social things that separate us, these things in society that separate us, we need to be careful about the way we allow ourselves to judge people in those word in that way. And God's word talks to us about that. And what's God's word say? Well, that's our source of truth. So looking at a few things that the Bible has to say about how we treat each other. Paul wrote to Timothy, All scriptures God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Psalms 82 goes on and says, defend the weak and the fatherless, uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed, rescue the weak and the needy, deliver them from the hand of the wicked. Deuteronomy says, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow and loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. And you are to love those who are foreigners, for you yourselves were foreigners in Egypt. Deuteronomy 10. Oh, how about a switch there? There we go. Micah 6, we know this one. This is very familiar to us. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Matthew, Jesus tells us this. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. And Jesus goes on in Matthew 25 and says, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. And I needed clothes, and you clothed me. And I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And there are so many more. Here's just a few more, and I didn't even include the other 20 or 30 verses that talked about the way we treat people and the sojourner and the foreigner and mercy and justice and the downtrodden. The Bible talks a lot about these things. That, you know, I was talking to my brother about this the other day in a conversation. I said, I don't remember in Sunday school being taught a lot about the mercy to our brother, the caring for the downtrodden. We get lots of classes about do's and don'ts and rules, but I forgot. Maybe I just forgot. It wasn't always in my Sunday school class about remembering the foreigner, remembering the sojourner. So it was just kind of an eye-opener. And as I prepared for this, I read this article by Christine Erickson. She uses the term social justice in here. That is a trigger word for some folks. Typically, on the right side of the spectrum, that's kind of a trigger word. We talk about trigger words all the time, and it itself is one of those catchphrases that's politically loaded, potentially. But she talks about social justice. And let me just read what she said here. You can see it as well. Social justice is a common term used today. A brief online search will uncover varying definitions of what it means. One definition says social justice is promoting a just society by challenging injustice and valuing diversity. It's hard to argue with that. And she goes on and says, on one hand, that sounds fine. But she says, looking deeper, it's rather vague and can lead to many different conclusions about what justice really looks like. In contrast to social justice, which focuses on temporal or secular view of addressing injustice in society, biblical justice starts with the eternal in mind. It starts by seeing people as God sees them, recognizing that they are all created in the image of God, and it is incumbent upon Christ followers to pursue physical and spiritual freedom for the oppressed so others can also become what God created them to be. If we have experienced freedom, how can we not pursue freedom on behalf of others? And freedom is a very broad use here, right? It's just the freedom to live like you and I live and to enjoy the things that you and I enjoy. So that's the groundwork for that first one this afternoon. And I went to a little more depth because that's right here in front of us this afternoon. But we also will be talking about this panel discussion, the second panel discussion on politics and faith and politics in that intersection, which is, who is our king is the question that I'm asking on that. Who's our king and whose flag do we fly in the faith and politics arena? Whose flag do we fly? That's literally a literal question today, right? Because we have these flags. Now, we're all used to the American flag. We fly that, and that's one flag. And we do make a statement when we fly that flag, and that's fine. But there are other flags. There's the Black Lives Matter flag that some folks fly or banner on their porch. There's Don't Tread on Me. That's a popular one. the American flag with the blue stripe. That's a popular flag. These are all making statements. And it's okay for us to make our statements and to show where we put our values and what we believe is important. But we also need to hear the statements that other people are making. And if we don't like the flag that somebody flies, that doesn't make them your enemy. It does make perhaps an opportunity for some conversation to understand better where we're coming from and where they how they see things. And in particular, as we'll talk about in our panel discussion, how we see these things as Christians and how we see each other as Christians in these conversations. And I think the most important thing to remember is there's one banner that we need to fly under, right? And that's God's banner. That's the one we should be operating under. That's the one that trumps all flags, that trumps all banners. So we'll talk about that in that panel. Jesus doesn't talk much about politics in the gospel, really. We see his discussion of the coin, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's. And there's not a lot more politics from Jesus on that. The books of the New Testament don't cover much of it. There's a little bit of talk about the economic and religious politics that Paul runs into. And then Revelation, there's a political message there. But what's the political message? And to the extent that there is one, it's that God's kingdom is going to prevail and it's going to override all kingdoms of this earth, all politics of this earth, if you will. So this world is not our home, right? But we should be striving to make this world as much like God's kingdom as we can. And that doesn't mean a theocracy, but it does mean being Christ to our neighbor and to our community and to those who need us, and certainly to each other. We do it lovingly, even when it makes us uncomfortable. And that last panel discussion is going to be talking about the words that we choose, and the attitudes that we that fuel those words. Ephesians 4:29, I think it is the foundation of that conversation. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for rebuilding others, for building others up according to their needs, that it may be beneficial to benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. That's a tough challenge. You know, I look back at my life, 56 years, I have lived by this very well. A lot of times I've failed. Badly, I've failed. And why? It's a good question for us to reflect on, and that's part of what this conversation will be about. How we apply this to our lives and live it out. There are other passages that talk about our words. Proverbs alone has 30 passages that I counted that address anger in the tongue. And I think that Jesus provides us what I believe is the fundamental teaching on this issue: love, grace, and peace, and not fear. Our words oftentimes reflect fear or our need to defend ourselves in some regard. And that can lead to these difficult conversations, or how should I say, an unloving conversation. But love, grace, and peace, well, remember these passages. From John, Jesus said, "This is my command, love each other." And he was talking to his disciples, and he was talking about them loving each other, of course. And so we can't say that, well, that's just the context. He was talking about those Christians loving each other. But then we come back to the Good Samaritan. And the Good Samaritan story is talking about someone who's not like us. So that love applies not just to our brothers and sisters in this room and in our fellowship and in the Christendom at large. It means all people. Be gracious to each other. Matthew 5:7. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And then there's Romans 12. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with one another. And this passage, of course, Paul was talking to the church at Rome. So it was Christians talking. He was talking to Christians about Christians. And so we can look at this verse and say, well, you know, he's talking about living at peace with the people inside of our church. And I don't have to put up with some political jerk that I don't like and I can say what I want to. Or I don't have to agree with some other secular opinion, and I can argue with them. But you look on at verse 20 and 21, as I see it in Romans, and it says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I think that's maybe talking a little broader than just within our confines of our brotherhood and our brothers and sisters. So these are the things that we want to talk about. We think it's important for us as a congregation to have these conversations. And please, please, join in with us. Come sit in those sessions. Submit your questions. Let's love each other and have open conversations about these things, not judging each other, not determining whether someone is in or out with the Lord because of their attitude or their position on something. But how about loving them first and being with them? So I want to wrap this up. Those of you who know me well know I can talk too much, and I told you I'm a good lecturer. So I apologize if I've rattled on too long this morning or if I've felt like I've lectured. That really wasn't the intention. As individuals and as in the body, we're called to follow Jesus' words and his example. And so I guess my prayer from this conversation this morning and for us going forward is to think about how we help each other in that walk. How do we defend the oppressed and the mistreated? Lifting up all people, all of whom were created in God's image. Not just us Christians, but all children of God exist in this world. We help each other in that walk by lifting each other up, by honoring the one true King. And we honor each other, or we help each other in that walk by speaking words that build up, by speaking words that are kind, words that are compassionate, and being forgiving, and words that are forgiving. Jesus said the way would not be easy, the narrow way would not be easy. But we fully believe that that's our call. Our call is to do good, to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. If you'll pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, soften our hearts, open our ears, open our hearts, help us to love one another better. We have a great family here at Southeastern, and we know that they love you and that they love each other. And this is not so much about how we treat each other, Lord, which of course we need to be sure we apply all of these things to each other, but how we prepare to go out into the world for you and enter into these conversations. Lord, how do we help us know how we are going to be able to spread your word, to live Jesus to those who are no longer listening to the message of the churches because the churches have been nothing but infighting or have not demonstrated Jesus the way Jesus wanted to be demonstrated. Lord, we want to be relevant to our world and faithful to you in all things. Help us to learn as a congregation, as a family, how to help each other in that walk, how to touch those that we come in contact with, how to spread your word, how to grow your kingdom, how to care for those who are in need, and all the time growing our love for you. We thank you for this body. Lord, we thank you for each and every one that's joined us this morning and that's online watching live or that's watching this recorded. Help us to all improve our walk and to love one another and to love you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to offer an opportunity at this time for anyone who would like to ask for prayers or that would like to come down here for some support, or if you've decided to commit your life to Christ, as Joey leads us in this song, we want you to welcome you to come to the front, or we'll have an elder and their wife at the back, and you could talk to them at the back if you like.